The Holy Gospel is written in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the 5th verse. This is Jesus speaking. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord. When I was about 20 years old, I left home to study abroad for a year. And it was a big farewell. I'd never been away for so long. And those weren't the days of cheap travel. So I didn't expect my parents to visit me. And I didn't expect necessarily to come back during those 9 months or so. So it was hard to say goodbye. All of us have had similar experiences when we've had to say goodbye to a dear friend, maybe because they were going on a long holiday, maybe because they emigrated to a different part of the world, or maybe the hardest farewell of all, because they were coming to the end of their earthly life. And it's hard. I think that scenario explains a bit how the disciples felt in our reading today from John's Gospel. Jesus had been with them for nearly 3 years. He had become a friend, a mentor, a teacher, a master to them, a rabbi. And now he says, I'm going, I'm leaving you, and you can't come where I'm going. And then he says, but don't worry, it's good for you that I'm going away. And surely their natural reaction was, Jesus, how can that be good? You're the one we trust in. We've come to believe in you. You have called us and we have followed you. We've given up everything for you. You're the one who has taught us what God is like and how we should live. You are the one who has showed us God's majesty in your miracles. You're the one who has encouraged us when we needed it and who has also shown us where we went wrong when we needed it. So how can it be good for you to go away? Often I have wished to be able to step into a time machine and to travel back 2,000 years and to sit at Jesus' feet as the disciples, to listen to his teaching, to be wowed by his miracles, to understand more about God and how we should live. But of course we can't. So how do we live this Christian life without Jesus to follow physically? You may remember an old song which goes, trust and obey, there is no other way. And I think that's good advice for us as far as it goes. Trusting and obeying are the two pillars of following Christ today. We need to trust, we need to have faith in Jesus. We need to obey, we need to walk his way and follow his commands. The Bible made it very clear that without faith we cannot please God. We cannot become children of our Heavenly Father. In John's Gospel, in the first chapter, it says, all who believed in him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. So faith is important. Equally, obedience is important. Jesus said in various points in John's Gospel, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we know that Jesus' commandments were even more ambitious, even higher bar than the Old Testament Ten Commandments. In a famous passage in Matthew 5-7, which we know as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "It has been said to you, you shall not murder. But I say to you that if you're angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. And if you say to them, you fool, you'll be liable to the hell fire." How can we obey? How can we have enough faith and enough obedience? And so if we're not careful, if we try to believe and obey in our own strength, there's a real danger that they will condemn us more and more, and our faith won't lead us into freedom, but into condemnation and a new kind of slavery. Well, of course, Jesus says more in the passage we just heard earlier. He says, "It is good for you that I'm going away, because I am going to send you the Advocate, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." We are in the season between Easter and Pentecost. It is the season when the disciples had met the risen Lord and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come to empower them, for Jesus' living presence to live in them and to work through them. And without the Holy Spirit, faith and obedience will be a very hard slog and will tend to condemn us and not free us. Because it's the Holy Spirit who gives us faith. He opens our eyes to who Jesus truly is. He also opens our eyes to our own sinfulness, as this passage says. The natural person says, "Me, a sinner? Excuse me, I know lots of people who are far worse than me. Me, I need help? Surely not. I can sort myself out." But the Holy Spirit graciously reveals to us that we are sinners in need of salvation. He reveals to us that Jesus is the Saviour who died for our sins. And then he gives us the faith to believe in Jesus. That's the trusting bit. But the Holy Spirit is also essential in giving us power to obey Jesus. We can't do it in our own strength. Jesus says, "I'm going to send the Counselor, the Comforter, the Advocate. He will lead you into all truth. He will remind you of everything that I've taught you. And he's the same power that has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the power that lives in us now." It doesn't mean we'll always get it right. When we want to obey, when we ask for God's power to live in and through us and we fail, there's always grace. There's always grace, and the Holy Spirit helps us to come back to Jesus and say, "I am sorry, I failed you again. Please forgive me and fill me again with your power." Someone has said that grace is spelt God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. And then he gives us the power to follow Jesus and to do his works. I'm glad that Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going to go, but it's good for you, because otherwise the Holy Spirit won't come." Because in his lifetime, Jesus gathered between 12 and 70 people, a close group of 12, and then another larger group of followers of 70. But of course, one person can only do so much in a lifetime. But after Jesus rose again and ascended to heaven and sent his Holy Spirit, the gospel exploded into the known world, into the Roman world, and it spread far and wide. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I've got so many jobs on my to-do list, I say, "Well, I can't be in two places at the same time." No, we can't. And Jesus couldn't. He was fully human. But the Holy Spirit can. If we invite him to come, he lives in us. He lives in millions and millions of followers of Jesus across the world today. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal to us again the glory of Jesus, the glory of grace, and fill us with your power so we can follow you with joy. Amen.